In the story of Paul and Silas being miraculously released from prison, the jailer comes to them and asks, "What must I do to be saved?" Here's Mike McIntosh to begin today's edition of Chapter and Verse.
So that's a reinforcement from the New Testament that anyone in the sound of my voice, if you will call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. So he's pouring out his Holy Spirit, and some of you need to say, "I call upon you, Lord, I surrender my life to you." And if you have, and you're bored, and you're lethargic, you need to pray that God would pour out his Spirit upon you, and that you would be vitalized by him.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thanks for joining us for the Monday edition of Chapter and Verse Radio with Mike McIntosh. Looking ahead to verses 32 and 33, we read, "This Jesus God has raised up, of which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this which you now see and hear." The Word of God helps us to focus on his purpose for our lives, to serve him and his Son Jesus, who was sent to take away our sin. Only his love can release us from the bondage of trying to serve man without first serving our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. His love helps us to fulfill God's promise and his plan for our lives. Acts chapter 2 is our area of study, and Mike McIntosh is our teacher as we continue the message, "God will pour out his Spirit."
God, I need help as a teacher. God, I need to find a job. Help me. Start your day crying out to the Lord, and it will give you hope. I hope in your word. So David was a man that trusted God's word. He studied it. So start your day crying out, and he got up before the sun was rising. Now, revive me, and go down about seven verses to 153. Consider, and I'd like you to read 153 and 154 together with me, please. "Consider my affliction and deliver me, for I do not forget law. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word." That's something we all need, isn't it? I have affliction, deliver me. I do not forget your law, I live according to your word. Plead my cause. It's like a courtroom scene. Plead my cause. Redeem me. So he knew that it was redemption. And revive me. Many of you need that. According to your word. And again, it goes back to your word. George Whitefield was a young man when he came to America in the early colonies. Boy, he had a gift. He was a magnet. People came to him. He rode around New England on his white horse, and they would come by the thousands. There's a crowd I read about one day, Massachusetts, somewhere in that area, by Boston, and there was maybe 20,000 people. And George was right in the middle, on his horse, preaching like Peter. And the biographer wrote down interviews of people, and if you were the last person on the circle, you could hear every word perfectly as if you were right next to George and his horse. But if you took one step back, you couldn't hear a thing. Supernatural. Wonderful. And you don't need to be afraid of the supernatural. Just because it's supernatural doesn't mean you have to look like an idiot or dance and shout or do anything other than be who you are in the Lord. I mean, it's just so sad that the churches that are alive with the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that many times they're abused and misused, and so other people get frightened of it. But it's just you. God's not going to make you a wacko. It's just you. He knows what you need. Sandy and I are talking about the duck that landed in our pool. And he puttered around there for 2 weeks. He just puttered around. He saw us. He saw the dog. Just puttered around. And then came the girlfriend. They had spring break in our backyard in our pool. They did. It was amazing. And they were just lovers or something. Then we realized he had scouted the backyard and saw the bushes and where she could lay her eggs, and he would take care of her. And then one day he quacked at us, and she left and he left. And we said goodbye. We saw him flying away. We figured that was it. And not so. About 4 days later, Sandy was at the morning women's study. The dog and I were in the backyard doing something. I think I was teaching the dog how to drive. And we went into the house, and there was this duck. He had walked in our open door, and he's just a big, fat rear end, you know, the feathers sticking up. And you thought he owned the place. He was really low to the ground, great big green feathers in the back. And he's waddling, just like a big, fat duck. And he's almost to the kitchen. I was afraid he's going to raid the refrigerator. But he was, like, in control. He's in our house. And this is not an exaggeration. I stopped and looked at that duck. I thought, a duck in our house? And then I turned, and the dog turned and looked at me like, a duck in the house? There was a duck in the house. But the Lord knows I like to have things like that happen, just to say, okay, I don't want to get caught in a rut here thinking one way. So I went to get the duck, and he got frightened and tried to fly away. We finally got him out. And that was it. Until Saturday came, I was sitting by the pool, my back to it, had my notebook out, my Bible, study books. All of a sudden, I heard, quack, 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 quack. And here comes this duck with all the green feathers, with his flaps down like a 747 on his wing, and his big orange shoes on. He's got those big shoes on. And he's coming in for a landing. And it was like he was on the glide slope. And those of you that aren't pilots, if you're doing an instant approach, no matter how big or small the airplane is, you all descend at 500 feet a minute. So you have to set that up. And he was coming right down the glide slope as if there was some electronic beam from our backyard. Quack, 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 quack. And I turned around and I said, I can't believe this. He lands on about the middle of the pool, and just like a seaplane, he comes right up to me, and then he turns around. And he sat there for an hour or two, and that was it. He took off. He called Duck Tower and said, quack, 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 and he's gone. So revive me, Lord. Sometimes we need some things to, you know, make us laugh. That's so weird. A duck. A duck. But when I told the grandchildren, oh, that's cool. I mean, to them, yeah, why not? Now look at verse 159. I'd like you to read it out loud with me too also. Consider how I love your precepts. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth. The entirety of your word. You looking for truth? Just found it. Every one of your righteous judgments endure forever. So you need to be revived according to your loving kindness in verse 159. Revive me according to your word, verse 155. Deliver me. Consider my afflictions. Consider what I'm going through, Lord. Great are your tender mercies, 156. The word. Revive me, O Lord, according to your loving kindness. Then look at 160 and read that out loud. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So you're a whosoever, and you call upon the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. In Acts 2, verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. 110 times. Matthew used the term whosoever from Jesus 36 times. Mark used him 15. Luke used it 21. And John used it 10. Amazing how much it was used to remind people. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did through him in your midst, as yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined purpose. Determined purpose. Do you have a determined purpose for life? A determined purpose. Foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands three things. Number one, you have crucified and put to death. Number two, whom God raised up. God raised Jesus from the dead. Number three, having loosed the pains of death because it was not possible that he should be held by it. It was not possible that death could wrap itself around Jesus and rot his body and take him in that grave. Now, I want to close with a couple of positive thoughts about this in some scriptures. First of all, 1 Corinthians 15, you need to know, and I'm sure you already know what I'm going for, but I'll tell you it's verse 22. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 22. And this is what it has to say. For as in Adam all die, we are all from Adam, and all of his sons and daughters die. Everyone that's ever been born has died. Even so, in Christ, all shall be made alive. Now I've accepted Jesus. I've been born again. I'm one of his. He did not stay dead and corrupted. He resurrected, and that power is now yours. Whosoever's have the resurrection power by faith. So if you're a human being without forgiveness of sin, you're going to die. If you're a human being that has asked God, your creator, your maker, for forgiveness of your sins, you're going to live forever. That's pretty simple. You can argue with it. You can kick your feet against it. You can throw snowballs at it. Do whatever you want. But the best thing to do is call upon the name of the Lord and be saved. That's the best thing. So in 1 Corinthians 15, it shows us something very beautiful. Yes, we would be found as false witnesses, he said to them in verse 15 to 19, that if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, then the Christian men and women are the ones to be pitied the most. Because we gave up so much lust and pleasure of the flesh to try to walk circumspectly and carry our cross. But he said that's not the case. He says in the 22nd verse, as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards you and I, those who are Christ at his coming. And then comes the end. The end's coming. When he delivers the kingdom of God to God the Father. And when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, all corruption. For he must reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. Would you read verse 26 out loud? The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. That's right. Death is your enemy. And it is going to be overcome. And because of that, you have hope today. And the big issue is that we're all going to die someday. If you've never faced your own mortality, the sooner you do that, the better your life will be. And you realize there is no good thing that dwells within you, just like Paul the Apostle said. For my righteousness, he said, is nothing but filthy rags. And when you see yourself for who you really are, that should break you, not make you tougher and harder. You realize that you need God. You need him so very much. We will close with this verse. It is Revelation chapter 1. The last book of the Bible. And you can write down on the palm of your hand, death is my enemy. But Jesus has conquered death. The last enemy of you is death. And that's the last thing that you do. You die. So you need to know how wonderful your Lord and Savior is concerning this. Look at verse 17, chapter 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. And when I saw him, Jesus, after he resurrected, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, for I am the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. He's experienced it. You will never experience it. Amen. And I have the keys, underline this, in every Bible in this room. And I have the keys of Hades, or hell, and death, with a capital D. The key, the mystery to death, is in the hands of the Lord Jesus. Later in the book of Revelation, we are told that there is a demon that is really wicked and evil. He hates human beings. Other demons apparently work for him. He's got a name that fits him, Abaddon. He's a bad dude. And I can just see the picture in my mind. Ephesians 4 said that he that descended, Jesus, after he left his body at the cross, has also ascended. He went up into heaven, and he took captivity all the people that were in paradise waiting for the Messiah captive. He took charge of them, and they all went to heaven together. Then he comes back and talks on this island to John, and he said, you know, that enemy of death, I've got the keys. There is a shaft. The Bible calls it the abuso, leading to the abyss down in the middle of our earth. And there is some sort of a gate that takes a key to open. Now, when Jonah was thrown overboard, you remember he went down to the gates of the sea. So he went down to the pit. And this huge demon didn't arm wrestle Jesus or say, okay, first one to the pole wins. There's no competition. I think he just reached out his hand with that big ring of keys for death and for hell and gave it to Jesus. He holds the key. He holds the key to your life. But death, he's already taken care of for you. See, the hard thing for us is that we must believe and even love by faith someone we've never seen. We're just hearing his story of how much he loves us. But it is so hard to stay on the narrow path. Many try, and many fall away. It's rough because you are circumspectly looking at yourself, calling upon the Lord, trying to read the word, follow the right things to do in life, deal with issues and people and life, as the world knows it, and be a godly woman or a godly man. Not that you have a big halo over you and you're always, you know, looking so meek and humble. No. It just happens. It just becomes natural because he has poured out his spirit on you. And his spirit is love. And it's hard to love when you can't see that person. So, by faith, you go on knowing that the purpose and determination is that I want to see him face to face. I want to hug him. I want to thank him. Let everybody else wait 2 or 3 billion years as I just hold him. Because he's given me eternal life. So I'm going to try to get out of the way and let his spirit move through this vessel called the body. He loves you. He holds the keys. Shall we stand? Shall we pray? You are so good and lavish us with your grace and your kindness and your mercy. You pour your spirit out upon us. You let us have visions and dreams and prophecies. And in it all, you show us that the strength for the believer is your word. And as we get to know you through your word, we understand that unspoken issue that we thought about of us dying is already handled. We thank you that you have the keys and that you have redeemed us. And though we can't see it all, we want to trust you with it all. Dear God, these men and women have all assembled around San Diego because they will love you or they want to know you. And so I pray that you would pour out your Holy Spirit, just like you said. Pour out your Holy Spirit on these men and women. Let them realize there's a spiritual side of this city that they may not be seeing. And there's a spiritual side in their life You said, whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. There are many whosoever's here today. Lord, would you speak to them that they would call on your name to save them and to baptize them with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We bless your holy name and thank you. And for those that would say, well, I'm a whosoever. It makes no difference if you've been trying to be a Christian or playing a Christian or you just know that you're not living it. I would like you to ask the Lord God Almighty to forgive you of your sins and redeem you this hour. Just pray it right now. Call upon the Lord. Oh, Lord, just call on him. Take my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. Cleanse me of my unrighteousness. Oh, Lord, I want to be yours and to love you, to serve you. Forgive me of the sins and give me your power to be used to love the unlovely, to love the unlovable, to love the unloved, and to love you. As our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, how many of you whosoever's just prayed that prayer to God? I want you to look up, raise your hand. I'd just like to see and remember you in prayer today. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. The back row. Yes, ma'am. Right here. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. In the back. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. On the right. God bless you. How about over here on the left? Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. In the bleachers in the back. In the bleachers in the front. Very last row. Right here in the brown shirt. Yes, sir. Right there in the striped shirt. Oh, it's so wonderful. Whosoever, anybody, rich or poor, man or woman, boy or girl, whosoever, there's no limitation. Heaven's big enough for you, and heaven's calling you. You've seen these many people reach out to you, Father, and all of us in this room that have been filled with your Holy Spirit, we just rejoice together for these men and women, and we pray that their lives would radically change for the good this very hour. May you pour out your Spirit upon them right now, Lord. May they just be big, huge light bulbs in the darkness of San Diego. May their friends and their family see the changes that are going to take place. May they be used by you to love and to bring your truth of the Word into every little corner of their life. Bless these men and women and honor them, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So many of you are looking for a change. Expect it now. I have found that when he changes things and changes me, my flesh holds me back. I need to let go. And I let him lead me. So he's going to speak to you and you're going to hear his voice. Go with the flow, Daddy-O. Go with it. Listen to his word, read it every day, pray every day, tell other people about Jesus every day, and get into a good church, home fellowship, core group, hang out here, and we'll just love one another, forgive one another, and accept one another, and do our best to understand one another. And what we find out, God's love covers a multitude of sin. Judgment likes to tear down. The Lord loves to build you up.
With those words from Mike McIntosh, we're going to bring to a close our time of study for today on Chapter and Verse. The Spirit of God stirs our heart and kindles the fire within us. The more we know about Jesus through prayer and Bible study, the closer we want to become like him. His love for us lights that passion that burns in our hearts to love and serve him. God is pouring out his Spirit, receiving it, and letting it strengthen you on your journey towards heaven. Well, if you'd like to review this message, you can do so online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacIntosh.com. That's MikeMacIntosh.com and click on the teaching link. And then go to the sermon page for not only the complete series through Acts, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacIntosh.com. As we close our broadcast for today, I'd like to take a moment to remind you that this program only continues to be heard daily on this station due to the support of our listeners. So first and foremost, we do covet your prayers for this ministry. Then if you'd like to be a part of keeping this radio outreach on the air, write to us at Chapter and Verse, P.O. Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. Again, it's Chapter and Verse, Box 231150, San Diego, California 92193. You can also securely give online at MikeMacIntosh.com. Be with us next time as we continue our series from the Book of Acts with Mike McIntosh. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.